A couple of years ago, when I conducted a transaction with a company by telephone, my conversation with the advisor who took my call began as follows. He asked me my full names, which I gave. He replied, "Fantastic." He then asked me for my address, which I gave. And again, he replied, "Fantastic." My compliance with his request for a further piece of information was again met with the response, "Fantastic." I really wanted to ask him why my ability to provide such mundane personal details was fantastic, but I kept my thoughts to myself. In fact, he was simply engaging in what is termed overspeak, and it's increasingly common. It's where events, experiences, or reactions are overstated by the wrong use of adjectives which mean extreme or exceptional. Now, organizations, including some churches, instead of now saying they are pleased to announce a forthcoming event, they say they are excited to announce it. And because the word excited has been sort of somewhat devalued, people who are really excited about something sometimes now say, and perhaps you've heard this, they are super excited. At the other end of the emotional scale, because some people now describe disappointments, and they're mere disappointments, as devastating, people, or some people, who experience something which is really terrible and traumatic, say, you may have come across this, they say they are beyond devastated. But the adjective most overdone, and I think some of you will agree, is the word amazing. Have you noticed these days everything is amazing? And whereas before a meal in a restaurant might be described as excellent or delicious, is now amazing. Well, a concise dictionary definition of the word amazing is causing great surprise or wonder, astonishing. And I should tell you, before I go on further, that just last week I had to do another transaction on the phone, and I was asked for my card details, and when I gave them, the call handler replied, "Amazing." Well, actually, it would have been amazing for me if the transaction had not gone through, because I did think there was enough money in my account. Now, just to go back to that dictionary definition, causing great surprise or wonder, that exactly describes the experience of the shepherds out in the fields with their flocks at night when an angel suddenly appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and the angel announced to them the birth of Jesus that very day. After which, that angel was joined by a vast crowd of other angels who together praised God. What those shepherds witnessed was truly amazing. It's a story full of surprise and wonder. And the angel told the shepherds that he was bringing them good news of great joy. A saviour has been born to you, who is Christ the Lord. And I want us to consider those three titles given to Jesus: Saviour, Christ, and Lord. So what is a saviour? Well, a saviour, of course, is a person who rescues or saves someone or something from harm or danger. Nobody can be a saviour unless there is first someone or something needing to be rescued, and second, the person wanting to save is able to carry out that rescue. Now, I suggest to you that most people today, even at Christmas, will not be interested in Jesus as Saviour because they do not consider they need to be saved from anything. But the Christmas message, which declares that God sent his son Jesus into the world as Saviour, clearly means that mankind needs a Saviour. Not just a small minority of people whom we might consider to be exceptionally bad, but each and every one of us. Our Creator is a holy God, perfect in every way, totally pure and upright, and incompatible with sin, however small it may seem to us. And the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible also says people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment. And the baby born in Bethlehem was uniquely qualified to save people from God's wrath, because though human, he was also divine. He had only one biological parent, Mary. His real father was not Joseph, but God himself. And as the Son of God, Jesus too was without sin. And this connects with the second title of Jesus given by the angel, a Saviour who is Christ. Now, the word in the original Greek text is Christos, and it means Messiah, which is the word used in some English translations of the New Testament. Well, what is a Messiah? Well, the term is defined three ways by the Collins English Dictionary. One, the awaited King of the Jews to be sent by God to free them. Two, Jesus Christ when regarded in that role. Three, an exceptional or hoped for liberator of a country or people. Well, for centuries before the birth of Christ, there was an expectation by some in Israel that God would send his holy and anointed one to liberate the Jews. Now, at the time Jesus was born, Israel was part of the Roman Empire, under occupation by Gentiles. But many misunderstood Jesus and his mission. He came not to be a military or political leader. He came to liberate Jews and Gentiles from the sin in their hearts and lives, which enslaves and condemns us. It enslaves us because there's nothing we can do about it. No matter how hard we try, we cannot live perfectly. We cannot please God in every way. We all need rescuing and delivering from the same thing. And Jesus alone could accomplish it. So we all need him. And the way this could be done was for Jesus to take our punishment by his sacrificial death. He came to earth specifically to die 33 years later, nailed to a cross. Now, a saviour may be somebody who dives into deep water to rescue a person from drowning. But a saviour may also be somebody who rescues a person who is submerged, not in water, but they are drowning in financial debt. And that saviour bails them out. And Jesus offers to wipe out our debt of sin and make us right with God. Because on the cross, he paid for us. He paid the penalty. He bore the punishment we deserve. And having completed his mission, death could not hold him. So on the third day, he was alive. And 40 days after, he returned to heaven. He was the Messiah, promised by God through the prophets. In the Old Testament, there are various references to his coming, details of his birth and death, prophesied centuries earlier. So the angel told the shepherds that the baby that had been born was a saviour, the Christ or Messiah, and thirdly, he was the Lord. Now, the Greek word for Lord can also mean sir. During his three-year ministry on earth, from the age of 30, Jesus met many people. Some would have called him Lord out of politeness. Some out of respect, because he was known to be a healer and teacher. But there was a group of people, larger than the 12 apostles, who were his disciples. And Jesus was their master. They accepted he had authority over them. Well, what is a master? Well, today the term can mean somebody who has become very proficient at something. But the traditional meaning of master is one who has servants who obey him. And when the angel called the baby Lord, it was again a reference to his divine nature. The Apostle Paul, in his first letter to the church in Corinth, wrote this: "There is but one God, the Father, from whom all things come and for whom we live, and there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live." Now, more briefly, I want us to consider the words of that great company of angels. They were praising God, so perhaps the words were sung. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." Over the last 2,000 years or so, since the birth of Christ, there have been countless wars with nations fighting each other, including two world wars, and many civil wars with factions within one country in violent conflict. Ukraine and Gaza are continually in the news, but there is bloodshed and destruction in many other countries not widely reported, and in some cases ongoing for years. On the continent of Africa alone, there are more than 35 non-international conflicts taking place. And according to the Global Peace Index for 2024, published in June, 92 countries were involved in conflict outside their borders. So what happened to the promised peace, one might ask? This peace on earth that was spoken about by the angels. But the message of the angels wasn't about peace as we think of it. It was not to nations or smaller communities. It was a message to individuals. It's an offer of inner peace. It's about making peace with God. You see, if there was no violence anywhere in the world, there would still be anger, slander, jealousy, selfishness, dishonesty, and a whole range of other unpleasant things that human beings think, say, or do. And all of which, in varying degrees, are part of human nature, and they constitute rebellion against God. And the Bible teaches that those who ignore or reject Jesus are at enmity with God, although they may not be conscious of it. There's no neutral position that man can adopt with God. God sent Jesus to enable us to be reconciled with God. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church in Rome, wrote this: "Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, justified means being put right with God, forgiven, slate wiped clean, and it's achieved by trusting in Jesus and his atoning sacrifice on the cross. Well, finally, after this truly amazing encounter, what did the shepherds do? Well, the angel had told them that the baby Jesus had been born in Bethlehem and could be found lying in an animal feeding trough. And they immediately and in haste went there to see this baby and to meet Mary and Joseph. And what did they do next? They spread the word. They reported everything, and those who heard it were amazed. Yes, real amazement. They really were amazed. And the last word about the shepherds was that they returned home glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard. Can there be any doubt that their lives were forever changed? Well, the Christmas message is potentially life-changing. It isn't just universal, it's personal. If we simply think, well, that's a lovely, heartwarming story, which fits well with the joy and coziness of Christmas, but there's no individual response, then the point of it has been missed. What did the angel say? A saviour has been born for you, who is Christ the Lord.